This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibodeau Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on a hump day Wednesday, and we'll start off by saying good evening to Don.
Peyton Manning called me!
And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Good job out of you.
And also good evening to Don.
The Daily Don, you moron!
The Daily Don!
What do you think it is?
That's how you treat me. How about good evening to Michael?
Nobody's getting aroused in an MRI tube.
A lot happens on this show.
I'm shocked that you would cast aspersions on people's looks when you're hideous in your own right.
Earlier today, just for fun, I sent Ballard had sent me a picture.
Ballard!
Of when he went to fish with Brouncher.
Why?
Okay.
And he was like, throwback, fish throwback, and he sent me a picture of him and Brouncher. And I, just to make Michael mad, sent it to Michael. Because we all know Michael loves attacking Ballard.
And Brouncher.
And we know that Michael loves attacking Brouncher. And why wouldn't he attack Brouncher? He's our good friend who works with us at the station and helps our show.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
So I sent the picture to Michael just to see how he responded. I'm going to give you and RJ an opportunity to predict what Michael said. He said two short sentences. The first, they're back to back. Just it's one line, two quick sentences. I never saw Ballard before, period. What's the next sentence? He saw a picture and he said, I never saw Ballard before, blank.
He's more hideous than I thought.
Okay, RJ?
See, I actually think he's going to pay some kind of compliment to Ballard while simultaneously insulting Brouncher.
Hmm. So, go give us something.
Hmm. Didn't think he'd be decent looking compared to Brouncher. Everyone is. Something like that.
Okay.
Oh, how about this? How about this? Because this could be witty. Is that a fish show or the Westminster dog show?
You know what? That's a very good guess. But Don, listen to how close you were the first time. Kay's line was, I never saw Ballard before. Wow, he's hideous. You used the word hideous.
Yeah, it's... Do I know my guy or what?
I mean, you know your guy.
I'm shocked that you would cast aspersions on people's looks when you're hideous in your own right.
All right.
When in doubt, bad guy.
Let's talk about local football, shall we?
Sure.
I know what you're going to say. Why? But
no,
we have to.
I love talking football.
Okay.
Even when it's bad. Bad football is better than some sports that are spectacular.
That's a great point. Saquon
I'm
Barkley.
Mr. Joe Football. Ugh.
Saquon Barkley out for the season. So
that's right.
Giants had to make a move, Don. And they did. Devontae Freeman now on board. Let's hear from our very own Jordan Ronan Sentence on SportsCenter talking about the Freeman signing.
It's a one-year deal worth up to $3 million. The same deal that Freeman turned down earlier this offseason from the Seahawks. The reason it makes sense with the Giants? Touches. Freeman will get immediate opportunities, likely beginning this Sunday against the 49ers, alongside Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman. I asked two league executives how much they thought the 28-year-old Freeman still had left in the tank. They both agreed he was a functional rotational back at this point of his career. With that being said, expect Lewis to carry the biggest workload of the Giants running backs, especially in the short term.
That was edited down. His segment was actually 45 minutes, which I know you don't see every day on SportsCenter. But that's what they're expecting. Good stuff from Jordan. That's what they're expecting there.
Well, because it's going to take a while for him to kind of get acclimated to everything. And Lewis is not a bad back. And Gallman, you know, they are what they are, right? And so is Freeman at this point. But what are you supposed to do?
Do we really know what Freeman is, though?
You just lost a world-class back, and you're entering week three of the season. What are you supposed to do?
But do we know what Freeman is?
Well, we know that the Jets sniffed around and that Seattle was interested.
We thought the Jets were going to take him, right? That looked like it was going to happen for a minute.
It did. But and that was a team, but when you think about it, they had already signed Gore, and they had Bell. So they were probably only looking for him to be like a third string back. So I don't think there's anybody that thinks this guy is going to go out there and rush for, you know, 1,000 yards anymore. But the, you know, Bakers can't be choosers for the Giants. What do you expect to do? You're entering week three. You just got to find anybody that that can sign a contract and help you out.
Devontae Freeman stats. I'm going to pull this up here, Donald.
No, listen, he had good years in Atlanta.
Well, how about last year? 2019, 14 games. He rushed it 184 times for 656 yards and two touchdowns. 3.6 yards a carry. So nothing special.
No.
In terms of rushing the ball, his last 1,000-yard season was 2016. So, yeah, it's listen, unfortunately for the Jets situation, they don't really have a whole lot of options here.
Or the Giants situation.
To be done. I mean, or the Giants, that is. Although the Jets aren't much better off at this exact moment, but hey. Let's talk about the Jets, shall we? Brian Baldinger was on Twitter talking about how the Jets should be running behind Mekhi Becton more.
I'm going to make a suggestion to the Jets. Just a suggestion. I'm not trying to coach your team. Become a left-handed team. You're a right-handed team. All your formations are right-handed. Become a left-handed team and run behind Mekhi Becton. Just do yourself a favor. I know this is Dre Greenlaw, who's just a linebacker. But just do yourself a favor and run behind Highway 77. Because guys disappear off the screen. They just disappear off the screen. Like, it's a powerful man. And when he puts his hands on you, it's like putting iron anvils on you. They disappear. Just become a left-handed team. All right? And run behind this man. That's what I would do. That's the first thing I would do. Not the last thing, but that's the first thing I would do.
Now, two things. One, obviously, we're all concerned about Brian Baldinger's breathing on camera. Number two, Don, if that's and I know people love Becton, right? I know there's a lot of positives for him. I don't want to be an S starter. But doesn't that feel like the kind of thing they should already be thinking about if he's in fact that good?
Well, in defense of the Jets, who's to say they're not? Because first game in the NFL, I'm not sure you're going to build a system around him being the guy for the very first game. He got banged up in that game. I think early in the week against San Francisco, he was listed as questionable. So I'm not sure he was even 100%, which could be good news because he's looked good. Now you're entering week three. Your season's pretty much on the line. He's been impressive the first 2 weeks. Who's to say that isn't something they're thinking about? But I can't kill Gase for, you know, with no preseason and limited in camp to just say we're going to now run, you know, behind a rookie offensive lineman.
Well, back to the right? Giants side.
Oh, we're flip-flopping back and forth there. Flippin', I love it.
Flippity-flopping. Let's head back to the other side of the stadium. So we know Sterling Shepard has turf toe, and now the most experienced, well, not the most experienced in New York offensive weapon for Daniel Jones is on the IR with that turf toe. So he is sidelined a minimum of 3 games, Don. It's not what you want.
No, it's certainly not what you want. And that was kind of something that flew under the radar after the loss to the Bears because we spent so much time talking about all the injuries that the 49ers suffered and the Jets suffered in that game. But you know the Giants lose Barkley, and that's going to take a lot of attention away as well, but they lose Shepard too. And listen, I'm a Tate fan, but he's not a superstar by any stretch. He's not a number one wide receiver on a really good team. He's maybe not even a number two. but he is on this team. It's tough. It really, you're going to have to judge the Giants kind of the way we have in the first 2 weeks. Not based on wins and losses, just how they look. Do they have fight? Does the defense give them a chance to stay in the game? And wins and losses at this point, it's going to be tough when you're that limited, right?
Oh yeah, I don't. You can't be thinking a lot about wins, which is unfortunate because, you know, we all look forward to football season. We always start it with some level of hope, right? Like,
well,
I even watch Washington football with a team that really does not have a lot of talent, and I still start the season going, oh man, I hope that we could maybe somehow surprise me and everyone else and be pretty good. And then they come out week one, they come back, they beat Philadelphia 1-0. Then we lose to Arizona, who's much better, who's a much more talented team. We're 1-1, play Cleveland this week, and I can have hopes, at least so far, about getting some wins. So far. The Giants and Jets, they take it from you right away. I mean, you already know that the best case for this Giants team, especially now over the next three games, where they'll be without Barkley and Sterling Shepard, your likelihood for wins isn't that high. Now, flip side of that coin, Don, and I think you're right about this, considering what it looked like on paper after everything that happened with Baker and how decimated they were in the secondary, you have to be kind of happy with their defense so far. So that's a little silver lining. But no, Don, this season cannot be judged on W's.
They're such a strange defense because you can't say they played well. I mean, a lot of the same mistakes, not getting off the field on third down, very frustrating. You know, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, that they weren't blown out against Pittsburgh. You know, they kind of hung in that game a little bit. And then listen, Chicago's not world beaters offensively either. But, you know, you give up 17 points early. You don't allow a point in the second half. They got the offense the ball back with a chance to win the game. That's all you can ask a defense to do. So they're kind of a bend, don't break. They've
done enough.
Yeah.
They've done enough in both games to have given the offense a chance to win it for them. And at this point, that's all you can do.
Because when I look at the Pittsburgh game, what irks me in that loss isn't necessarily how the defense played. What irks me is how they get a turnover on the muff punt and settle for three, the interception in the red zone. So they left 10 points possibly on the table. That completely changes the game around. So they've been limited offensively, but I think defensively, where I thought they would be one of the worst defenses in the league, they've showed some fight. And I give Graham, their defensive coordinator, credit and Judge credit as well. They've got some fight, and that's something to root for.
Well, someone not getting a ton of credit at this very moment would be the team doctor of the Los Angeles Chargers. Before the Chargers game on Sunday against the Chiefs, Tyrod Taylor was scheduled to be the starter. He needed some painkillers injected into his cracked ribs. So that's what happened. And the team doctor did that. Unfortunately, they punctured his lung. Ugh. So now Tyrod not only missed that game, but will be out for a couple more weeks. And rookie quarterback Justin Herbert, who played pretty well in his debut, will be forced to take the helm right away. Coach Lynn said injury is not career threatening. The doctor, quote, just made a mistake. It happens. Tyrod's not angry, not upset. But he also backed Taylor and said that there's a good chance that we see him again. So
I'd have to ask, is that a risk in that procedure? Or is it like just completely out of left field, like that never happens? I guess that would for me would be the ultimate determination how upset I am at the doctor. If where that shot was injected, there is a percentage chance that that could happen.
Well, Don, I can tell you right now there is a percentage chance it's going to happen.
Well, now it is. I'm just saying going in.
There's some percent.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, one thing you'd ever want to hear a doctor say, Peter, is oops.
Yeah. In your case, it would be, oh, geez, oh, no.
Right. Oh, geez. Oh, that might be worse.
You hear that happen.
Oops, it might just be, I dropped.
I can't hold a job, Apotamus.
I dropped the retractor during surgery. Okay, we'll get you another one. It's okay. Oh, geez, oh, no is more like I cut something I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, geez, oh, no.
So good.
No, I just closed the incision, and I realized that I left all the sponges in.
So that's, yeah. Oh, well. Oh, yeah.
That's yeah, so we can many... have one for each. All right. RJ, I dropped the retractor.
Oh, geez. Oh, no.
Okay. I leave all the sponges in the patient.
So that's, yeah. Oh, well. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The patient doesn't make it.
No, no. Amputates the wrong arm.
I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
And ultimately, right. The patient doesn't make it.
He doesn't know, and it's sad because he thinks he knows, which makes him dangerous.
Not anymore. He's dead.
That's sad. All right. I haven't heard this yet, and I'm kind of excited to be honest with you.
Really?
Doug Peterson getting upset with a Philadelphia reporter. You like the sound of that. It's a good start, right?
I do.
Doug Peterson getting upset with a Philadelphia reporter.
It's not fair.
Regarding Carson Wentz.
Carson had great protection all day. He wasn't sacked. I think he only got knocked down once. And I know you were asked Monday why he's missing throws, and it's an assortment of reasons. But some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup. And so, you know, some of it is just timing with young guys. Some of it is just, you know, Carson just being, you know, not accurate at that particular time. It could be that there's a defensive guy that flashed a hand where he's, you know, got to change his arm angle at the split second. There's all kinds of reasons for accuracy. And these are things that we continue to work on and will continue to work on, you know, the entire season.
Well, wasn't that bad.
No, he didn't get that angry. Well, you know, he just hit him with a standard issue. Have you ever played quarterback in the
NFL? I hate that. I wish I would be able to think on the fly like this, and I wouldn't be able to get away with it in the long term, but just to get the reaction in the short term, right? If I asked that question and he said to me, "Do you ever play quarterback?" Well, coach, just so happens that I actually got a scholarship to the University of Miami because I was an All-American in my senior year in high school, but unfortunately I separated my shoulder, saving a 3-year-old child from drowning, and had to retire from the sport.
Yeah, so actually I do know those are layups, coach. you want me to go out there right now? Or by the way, you know what would be great too, and would completely derail the press conference? If Doug Peterson goes, "Have you ever played professional quarterback in the NFL?" Even if you just go, "You know, I haven't, but I guarantee you 100% I'll put money up, I can make those passes right now." and then Peterson's like, "Oh, no, you couldn't. Well, let's go outside. Let's take everyone outside and do it."
Let's take it out.
Because that way, even if the best case scenario happens, what if Peterson makes you go outside and everyone follows you out? Even if you can't make the passes, it's a great moment.
Now, we should bring in our resident Eagle fan, Andrew Gundling, if he's on the phone.
And if he's still an Eagles fan.
And ask him, does he believe, in his limited knowledge of the quarterback position, that there were layups that Wentz missed? Is that a legitimate question, Andrew?
To me, there were a couple that I can think of.
Okay.
But, you know, but Doug Peterson is talking about everything, so I can't necessarily tell you if I remember a defensive lineman's hand near Wentz's face. Like, I just remember the throw and the receiver being relatively open and the ball kind of soaring over his head. So,
right. Well, let me ask you a question, Andrew.
To me, it looked like it.
Let me ask you a question, Andrew. It's important. Have you ever played professional football and played quarterback?
No. However, I was the quarterback of my Syracuse intramural B division football team that won the championship. So
wow. Oh, well, then I'm sorry, Mr. Gundling.
Every day.
So close then.
No, because I've had it.
There's the other part of it too, where there's the arrogance of "Did you ever play?" which I hate. But also there are no layups. There are layups. Come on. There are easy throws. I mean, you're at that level, I'm sure there's throws that any quarterback should be able to make. Don't tell me there's no layups.
Can I suggest something that I think could be happening here?
Go ahead.
I think that Doug Peterson kind of invited this controversy in earlier this week when he didn't refute the idea that Wentz is regressing. And so now he maybe feels the need to overcompensate a little bit and defend his quarterbacks maybe a little bit more than he normally would.
That's great take. Point. It's a great
and
take.
Listen, it could have gone sideways. He did that as nicely as possible.
Mm-hmm. And he's
didn't
probably
eviscerate the report.
I mean, listen, he probably saw Bruce Arians talking about Tom Brady. He's like, listen, if Arians could talk about Brady, I could tell people I think this guy stinks.
I don't know if this is in ENN, but how about Arians talking about Gronk?
I didn't hear. What'd he say?
Oh, I've got to get it up. But basically, to paraphrase, that you know, he's not running past people anymore.
Uh-oh.
So I want to be able to find the exact quote, but it was not it didn't sound to me like you're going to be getting too much of the ball thrown his way.
That's an awkward thing no one really thought about. When you retire on top, when Gronk came back, did anyone consider he might just completely burn out and not ever get the ball?
Here's the quote. We brought him in to just play tight end. If that means no catches, that means no catches. If that means 10 catches, it means 10 catches because he's open and that's where the ball goes. There was another one that he said about not being able to get past people.
By the way, what did Gronk do? What did Gronk do?
Nothing. It was not good.
Yeah, same thing as last week.
In week one, I want to be able to. There's another one too, because that one isn't nearly as damning as the other one that I read. Let me find it. I'm sorry, but it was something like just not running past people. Yeah, there's definitely a question mark on whether this guy is going to be special anymore.
Because remember how thin he got when he was gone? He didn't look like the same guy anymore.
I'm going to find it.
So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes for the old Gronkster. I've got some question marks. Well, we can get back to that, Don, when you find it. But
okay.
Oh, wait.
We haven't had. All right.
No,
because I guess he had a lot to say about Gronk. Because I'm just seeing quotes galore. Oh man,
Don, I think we had it. I think we might have to move on here.
You know what? I think you're right.
That was good stuff. Hayden Hurst of the Falcons sought out Dak Prescott after their game on Sunday night to express his support in the wake of what Hurst called disgusting comments made by Skip Bayless on FS1. About Prescott's opening up about his mental health. Quote, for a guy to come out and talk about that topic and use his platform to try and help and save lives, I've got nothing but respect for him because I know how hard it is going through stuff like that. That's what he told ESPN the other night. So there you have it. I think everyone found themselves probably rooting for Dak a little bit more than they used to. Thanks, Skip Bayless. Only you, and maybe this week Jason Whitlock, are so hateable that you could make people pull for the Cowboys.
I know, really.
That is a special guy. Skip Bayless, you got to be a special guy to make me go, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the Cowboys come back and win. Wow. Wow, you got to be a bad dude. At least in a moment. I'm not saying he's permanently bad, but that was bad stuff.
I was disgusted that I felt good for Dak because he's a Cowboy. But you
couldn't
he
help
made
it.
Me do that.
Look what you made me do. It's really true. It's disgusting.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here it is.
Here we go. RJ, news. This is big. Let's go back. What were we talking about again? Oh, Gronk. Arians on Gronk.
All right, so this was before. There was the comment about if there's no catches, there's no catches, there's 10. The sentence before that, we haven't had that many red zone opportunities, and I don't see him running 40 yards past people anymore.
Well, that's not what you want to hear.
Did he ever do that? Do tight ends do that?
I mean, Gronk could fly, though, in his prime.
That ship probably sailed.
Oh, sure it did. Hey, Don, how about them Denver Nuggets?
Yeah, how about them Denver Nuggets?
Jamal Murray, the Joker, Murray, 28, 12, and 8, including a true dagger, a 29-foot rainbow three to help Denver seal the 114-106 win over the Lake Show last night. Let's hear from Jamal Murray.
We had game two. I thought we played great in game two, and we just had, like I said, a couple of breakdowns that really hurt us, and we feel like we should be up 2-1 right now, you know, to be honest. Well, we're just going to move on to game four, and we know in the Clippers series we dropped, I think it was game three, you know, so like I said, just taking care of the stuff that we can control, whether it's turnovers, whether it's communication, switches, rebounding, you know, areas that we should control. We got to do that if we want to win, so if we're consistent in our play, like we touched on earlier, we can win a lot of games and put a lot of pressure on other teams.
Just don't fall behind 3-1.
Any chance they win another one? Good. Not, obviously, there's some chance. Any decent chance they stretch this out?
The only chance I see is down 3-1, they force a game six. I don't think this series is going to be tied at 2.
By the way, can you imagine? If you're the NBA, maybe I'm wrong on this, Don. Correct. You tell me what you think. If you're the NBA, is your heart in your throat if you somehow had Denver and Miami on the verge of winning their series?
It's not what you want, as Joe Girardi would say, but I don't know. How much do you think that goes on, like, in the offices of the NBA?
I don't know. I never know if it's just something we talk about.
For our company, I'm sure. Because there's the direct result of the revenue from the ratings, so I'm sure
right.
ABC/ESPN is dying for Celtics-Lakers and would be disappointed in anything but that. But is Adam Silver going to be disappointed, or does he look at it and say, this is good? There's a little parity. Everybody expects the Lakers and LeBron, and maybe we get a different team in there. When was the last time the Nuggets played in the finals? How about never, right?
Yeah, so maybe the NBA does enjoy it more. But and even, you know what, Don, I hadn't even thought about it till this second, and I know you, and I predict you also have not thought about it for a second. There's even something there to seeing LeBron go up against the Heat.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. It's not as good as Celtics.
Lakers, but it's second.
No, there's something to that. Now, obviously, it would be a lot more attractive if he physically had to go back to Miami and play those final games and all that. But, yeah, absolutely, there'd be attractiveness there. And listen, you want LeBron. But I'm I hear this all the time too. Like, you know, listen, I'm sure. The NHL has to be really upset that it's Dallas Tampa in the final. Yeah, I'm sure NBC's not thrilled. But you know, you're trying to sell your sport. What better way to sell it than say, hey, look, there's professional hockey competing for a championship in the South, right? I mean, you're trying to grow your sport. I mean, maybe the Nuggets get to the final and they start now that there's a few games on national television next year, a little bit more exposure. That's a great city. That's a big sports town, right? Avalanche have been very good in the past. Broncos have been very good. Rockies have played in the World Series. I don't think the NBA cares. I think ABC and ESPN care.
And lastly, RIP to the Galloping Ghost. Gale Sayers passes away at 77 years old, one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. Career cut short by knee injuries, played only 7 seasons, and was the youngest player ever inducted to the Hall of Fame at 34 years old. He passes away from complications of dementia. So rest in peace to the great Gale Sayers.
Do me yourself a favor, Peter.
Okay.
Not tonight, obviously. You can't do it because you got Celtics.
Watch
Brian's. Not the one that came out recently. Go back to the made-for-TV movie from the 70s. Billy Dee Williams, Jimmy Kahn. Sit down at some point and watch that movie, please. Not for me, not for the audience,
for
yourself.
Wow. Say no more.
It's readily available. I'm sure it's on Netflix or somewhere you can find it. And you'll openly weep, and you'll be a better person.
That will do it for ENN on this hump day, or Wednesday evening.
How about this? I think just the tone of Peter's voice will tell me whether he saw it or not. That's how much I think would change him as a person.
I would show up the next day, and you could tell this is a man who's now seen Brian's song.
I'd just be like, oh, he hadn't seen it yet. He hadn't seen it yet. Oh, he saw it. He different. Saw the movie
he's
last
different
night.
Now.
I could tell he's different. The tone's different. I sense a better person.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.